Vince Di Dato for Radio Rosbrera. Comprehensive sustainability. In 1987, Our Common Future, also known as the Brundtland Report, stated the well-known definition of sustainable development as development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. This definition has been, in the good and in the bad, the thread that guided all the further approaches to human relationship with our planet. All the earlier approaches to nature, or more widely to what we call the environment, significantly since the 15th century, have always been aimed to resources management, trying to understand the most profitable way to access the natural goods and not only those. Of course, Brundtland Report did include more social and egalitarianism issues than ever, mainly because there had been profound changes both in societies and geopolitics between the mid-60s and the 80s that will symbolically end up with the tearing down of Berlin Wall in 1989. It is also perfectly understandable that the need was felt to have a common language and to issue a statement that could have been acceptable by the larger part of the nations. But still, until today, and despite the many efforts, no one has been able to clearly define what practical means to develop in a way that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Of course, because nobody wants to put any limit defining what those needs are. Even worse, this definition of sustainable development is incompatible with the capitalistic economy as much as it has been with the communist one. Both social forms, in fact, can only think in terms of growth as synonym of development, and growth cannot be at the same time unlimited and sustainable. We are actually in trouble trying to force the system and to grasp a justification to continue to ignore the inconvenient truth. The concept of sustainable development remains stuck into the former and consolidated patterns of a capitalistic financial-oriented economy that once more tried to bend sustainability into the needs of the myth of the production development progress, by itself subdued to the normalization of a profit-intensive human society, hence often and shortly overlapped and confused with the concept of financial growth. This has no future, considering the present planetary challenges and the acceleration of the environmental social crisis, and, worse, carries no possible effective solutions, no matter the agreed or compromised goals defined in a UN-COP conference, not mentioning the fact that the accepted goals are already being demonstrated inadequate by science and by the events. So, sustainable development, is must be said once for all, is not a realistic concept, disguised as improvement, but so often intended as growth, and from whom? From a systemic scientific point of view, if an endless development, and this is true for both growth and improvement too, can be conceived within a system, then the system can have access to outer energy and resources that can be measured and defined. And while this is very true when we consider information, as Richard Buckminster Fuller said in 1968, while it can be true for a metaphysical point of view, under certain conditions and within certain limits, it becomes whimsical once we blend and blur together the physics of the physical reality of our planet and the metaphysics of the financial rules inside a straight timeline based on human scale. We should be honest, facing the climatic uncertainties and their consequences, considering the short time we have to take action, and we have to admit that when we use the word development, we are not really referring to the evolution determined in an increase in information within the system. Nor when we join it with sustainable to an optimization of the use of energy and resources to do more and better with less, in order to guarantee access to this development to the future generations. De facto, whenever they collide with the actual and immediate prevalent financial interests, sustainable requirements are regularly opposed, put aside, or at the best, compromised. So, we argue that an endless development, often shortly overlapped with the concept of growth, can be sustainable at all. A human development concept is a wider and more understandable idea, but it should be intrinsically both physical, regarding our balanced relationship and interactions with the environment whose we are part of, and metaphysical, including the information we ineluctably increase during our interacting with our environment. And more related to quality improvement, of course. But quality improvement of human life, and of course, together with the quality of the environment and the old entire system, remain just a good wish in the frame of the actual financial predominance oriented to measure quantities to possess and excluding quality. It is normal in the official measurement, in the name of the impossibility or the unbearable difficulty to measure quality, and in the sake of an abstract supposed equanimity that is not since the beginning that this happened. Native culture, instead, know how to value, not measure, quality since thousands of years. Isn't there any possibility for the so-called civilized societies to do the same then? It could be argued, then denied, that the short circuit between development and growth is never explicitly and scientifically expressed. But all the Western world history embarrassingly demonstrate that instead this happened always, aiming more to quantity accumulation than to quality enhancing. It happens as a secondary issue, and of course not for all. And if it shouldn't be the case, wouldn't be at the dangerous stake of nowadays? If we want to achieve sustainability, we should get rid of an unclearly utilized development idea that actually implies an endless growth, and we must proceed once for all, splitting economic growth from human development, meaning that we should radically change economic paradigms. It means not only the acceptance of the end of capitalism and capitalocene and of its alternative as communism, but also the necessity to reinvent the whole economy. It is a cultural turn that requires a huge educational effort and an immense cultural revolution, implying a human mind evolution we perhaps don't globally reach yet. Does this mean that we are doomed to the catastrophe? Hopefully not. Even if the price will be definitely high, the general awareness and the will to change is already there. Vince Di Dato for Radio Rosbrera.